Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M network. For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
It's what rugby league's all about. Go!
Triple M rocks the footy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Welcome back to it. We do it for Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Iveco make the trucks that everybody wants to drive. Iveco trucks are strong by nature. Iveco.com.au. And Iveco will bring us a preview of next week's games just before 3 o'clock. Be interesting to see what Gordon, Paul and Ryan have to say about those games. Cowboys, another massive win last night over Parramatta, saying goodbye to Parramatta for the finals this season. And they march on again to play again. The mighty North Queensland Cowboys joining us on the phone, one of the stars of the show, a man by the name of Cohen Hess. Cohen, welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
Thanks very much.
Hey, Cohen, before I hand you over to the boys, we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier when the plane lands at Townsville and everybody congratulates you guys and congratulates you through the week and what you've achieved so far. You know, you just want to be careful that all the celebration isn't done before anything's actually achieved, if you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I can sort of see where you come from there. Yeah, the reception we had just before when we touched back down in Townsville, sort of had to pinch yourself, felt a bit like a rock star. There were that many people there and they're all getting their best Cowboys chants going on. It's very good to see how much it means to the people of North Queensland.
Hey, Cohen, how's the knee, mate? I saw you injure it last night and got it strapped up, mate.
Yeah, obviously there in the first half, just got twisted and that type of stuff. I think during the halftime period, it sort of calmed down and I sort of got my mind over it more than anything. But then again in the second half, just one of the Eels players coming in for third man sort of just hit it a bit aggressively and it sort of just flared back up. So I think I got taken off for precautionary reasons and just to ice it up and that type of stuff.
Hey, Cohen, it's the start of the year. You're doing pre-season training. Someone sits you down at the end of the session and says, this year you're going to play in a winning Origin series and a grand final qualifier. What do you say to him?
probably laugh in the face, to be honest.
It's been a big year for you, mate, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. I was only saying the other day, I haven't really had the opportunity to really sit down and just reflect on a season I've had. Obviously, I've been very fortunate in some accomplishments that I've made, and it's sort of all come really quickly, but trying to take everything in my stride, I guess, and just make the most of every opportunity I get.
How have you guys changed your game plan, or have you changed it at all, since Big Thumper and JT hasn't played?
No, I don't think the game plan has changed as much. I think, obviously, without them two players there, obviously they're leaders and for a reason. So I think guys like Michael Morgan, Jake Granville and Scott Bolton, in my mind, have really taken on those reins of trying to fill their shoes as best as possible and lead us around the park. So I think it comes back down to everyone, really. I think everyone's really sort of evolved their game, and I think in the long run it'll do us wonders.
What is it about Paul Green's coaching style that makes you guys believe and has put you in a position in which you find yourselves at the moment?
I think he just sort of just kept us really calm throughout the whole year. Obviously, losing our two leaders was pretty hard card to be dealt. But I think Greeny just made us understand that, obviously, they're two very influential players, but I guess it's not the end all. He had faith in us, and I think now we're starting to really realise that and play to our full potential.
How do you rate the Roosters pack? Obviously, Parramatta, you guys did a great job last night overcoming them. They're a pretty big, aggressive side. What do you think of the Roosters pack?
Yeah, obviously, they've got some representative players. I think they've got representative players all over the park in very important positions. So, obviously, it'll be a very good forward battle, something that I guess us as a Cowboys pack have tried to handle as best as we could. I think the Sharks and the Eels have got, in my opinion, some of the best forward packs in the comp. So likewise, this weekend we'll have to do a very good job on them.
The Roosters this year have been an unusual side to get a read on, haven't they? They've struggled to, and they've admitted it themselves, struggled to put together an 80-minute performance all season long, really. You guys are the opposite of that. Last night I thought you were terrific from minute one to minute 80, and you seem to play a patient game.
Yeah, well, I think it was only in the later rounds of this season when we did play. I think we had them there in the first half, and they come out in the second half and just blew us off the park. So I think towards the back end of the regular season for us, we were sort of in games, but we couldn't really find the composure or patience to grind out a win. But I think, yeah, Morgo's really taken it upon himself to try and get us over the line. And I think now we're understanding how to grind out a game, and I think that's where our winning culture is coming from.
Talking about a winning culture, you got a guy there by the name of Jason Tamalolo, and on the field he's a leader, he's a wrecking ball, he's brilliant. Does he turn, even though he's young himself, does he try to help all the guys around him? Does he do much at training to help you younger guys?
Yeah, I guess so. Obviously, everyone sort of looks up to Jace as one of their forward leaders. You've got to just see what he can do out on the field, and it's not too hard to get yourself up when he's carrying the ball or something like that, or when he runs over someone or gets an offload away. So, obviously, Jace has been very important to our success as of late, and what he can do out on the field is sometimes you just have to sit back and just watch in amazement.
Mate, what about a bloke like John Asiata? And by the way, if you've just joined us, we are speaking to Cohen Hess from the North Queensland Cowboys. Now, John Asiata's an interesting player, isn't he? Doesn't get the sort of the accolades that with respect to you or to Taumalolo. But he's a great young player, isn't he? And I seem to recall seeing him play perhaps at, I can't really remember what level it was, Cohen, but he was playing in a 5'8 role. He's a very versatile player as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think he'd be definitely the most skillful forward in our forward pack. I think when he does come on in the second, when he does come on onto the field, that's what he's there to do, is to run a bit of second phase play or try and get some players one-on-one or stuff like that. So, Johnny, in my opinion, is very underrated, and, he's a very important part to our team.
Good on you, mate. All the best, hey, against the Roosters, and I hope you guys just have a great run. Look, you just deserve it. Guys have gone so far with so many injuries to so many key players, mate. So all the best for the remainder of the season.
Thanks very much, guys.
There he is, Cohen Hess, joining us on Sunday Triple M NRL. We do it thanks to Brighton's Lawyers. We'll be with you right across grand final time, so make sure you download the app at triplem.com.au. That way, if you're at someone's barbecue and they're chewing your ear off and you don't want to, you can say, you know what, I've just got to go to the loo, and you can go in there, drop your dacks, sit on the loo and put the app on and have a listen to a little bit of football. You don't even have to drop your dacks. I do, but you don't have to.
Yes, I wouldn't ever put those shorts back on once you take them off.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with these shorts, mate. All right, okay? Your dress sense, your fashion sense is about 3 years behind. So by the time I retire, you'll be wearing shorts like this. Okay? And if you don't pull your socks up, I might retire today and hand it all over to you. Boys, have you got anything to add before we go to the ad break?
Hopefully that's a promise.
We are coming back with the footy voice, the Raging Bull, and thanks to Iveco Trucks, Strong by Nature, a preview of next week's games as Triple M rocks the finals. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Never miss a minute of the footy.
Too good. Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler, Anthony Maroon. We'll preview this afternoon. We'll preview this afternoon the games next week. So there's no games, obviously, this afternoon. But a couple of massive ones which you can hear next week on the Triple M Network. Right now, though, why don't we do this?
The Triple M Footy Voice.
Now, the only advice I'd give to anyone who wants to be a footy commentator is that you have to spend your weekend, you have to persevere with people with massive egos, and those people with massive egos, sometimes you just have to deal with them. It's all part of the job. It's all par for the course, as they say. If you want to be a footy commentator, that's my last piece of advice. But look, we've been asking people.
What's wrong with you today? You've had a go at Bill when he's not here.
Yeah.
Now you're having a go at Gerds because he's not in the studio. He's just gone to the loo.
Yeah, no, I wasn't having a go at anyone in particular, mate.
Listen, mate, we'll name them. Don't throw a blanket over the whole squad here.
Mate, no, I'm just saying I've worked here over the years with a lot of people with massive egos.
Well, name them.
Well, I don't want none of the current crop. None of the current crop, but I've worked here with a bunch of tossers over the years. I could have a toss-a-thon and invite them all along. Over the last few weeks, we've been asking people to send us their best rugby league.
You might be the only one there.
Best rugby league commentary. Regios are now closed. The winner will get a commentating experience, plus tickets to the NRL Grand Final, and who knows, possibly the start of a new career with Triple M. Now it's time to make a decision about who will make it through to the top two. All right, now let's have a listen to this little montage of our callers thus far.
Murray Connellan from Waverley in New South Wales.
Centre field to Thurston, who turns it inside to Scott. Scott keeps the legs pumping, but Corey Parker gets him around those big legs. 15 seconds to go. 15 out, directly in front of the upright. To the left-hand side to Thurston. Thurston made to do a bit of work with a horrible pass. Gets rid of Blair. Fends off Hunt. Backtracks and backtracks to Morgan. Morgan across the 20. To the right-hand side. Has a bit of space. Keeps the ball alive. Kyle Feld has scored. And the Cowboys have tied it up.
Albie Tallarico, Randwick, New South Wales.
Now to Tamo. Can he get the ball away? Can he get it away? He does offload. That's brilliant work by him through Morgan. Now to Thurston. Inside pass to Scott. Great Scott. He breaks the line, but he goes down in the tackle. 12 out from the line. Glanville, final 15 seconds. Out to Thurston. Defence moves up on him. He gets away from one. Pushes away from two. Can he pull out a miracle? Gives it to Morgan. Morgan gets inside his 20. He stands up. Milford offloads the ball to Feld, and Feld scores the try! Oh, boy!
Dan Robinson from Druin in Victoria.
Tamo on play five. He takes it to the line looking for an offload. He gets one away. It bounces to Morgan. They go left the Cows. Thurston, inside ball. Matt Scott takes it to the line for a settler. 15 out centre field. Last tackle. 15 seconds to go in the grand final. Granville shifts left. It bounces to Thurston. Flare up in his face. Thurston gets away. Thurston gets away from another. Looking for somebody to pass to eventually. Shifts right to Morgan. Morgan takes on the line. Gets around Milford. Morgan, arm free. Field for the corner. No way.
Tony Salerno from Wakeley in New South Wales.
It's for Michael Morgan now. Thurston drops the ball back on the inside. They want a settler. 20 seconds to go in the grand final. Matt Scott's put down 25 metres out centre ground. Granville goes to the left. Thurston, he's almost sacked by Thaiday. Spins. He's run out of room, the champion. Where's he going to go now? Decides to go right to Michael Morgan. There's a bit of space for him. Gets in and away off his man. Draws the winger. And Ryle Feld in the corner. Puts it down. And the Cowboys have levelled up and have a kick to win the grand final.
And a later entry now from Ryan Girdler, and here it is.
I've had my game, Maroon.
Good. What about you, Paul? Why don't you have a crack at it?
Because I have no ambition to ever call a game.
If you put something up there I can watch, I'll call it. But, okay. I mean, I just can't call it off memory.
You can't just see it in your head.
No,
you make one up.
I could just make one up right now. Goes and Talas gets a pass away to Kenny, throws a dummy, then he gets a pass away to Girdler. Girdler gets over the halfway. He kicks over the top.
Well, good news is, Maroon, you came fifth.
I want to know what happened. Did I regather and score? What happened?
You did. I'll do the rest next week.
I will say this. I thought that Albie had a little, couple little Maroonisms
did
in
he?
His call.
Yeah. Well, how do you mean?
Often when we go and you hear everybody go, they go straight to Rab's voice. Albie had the maroon voice.
Mm. Right. Oh. Apparently his inspiration.
Well, I do actually, you know, not that it matters, but I do know Albie.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do. I've met Albie around the traps. He lives somewhere around near me somewhere, I think.
Maybe if Albie had known Rabs instead of you, he might have had a chance.
Maybe Albie's a stalker.
Oh, I'd love to have someone stalk me, just to show any interest in me at all.
That'd be fantastic. About time that personality come out. And, 28 weeks we've been waiting for it.
Tony Salerno was very good as well, and so too Dan. I thought Dan was special.
Yeah, I really liked Dan.
Yeah, I actually thought Dan was one of the better ones there.
So. Really?
Yeah.
Murray Connellan from Waverley. But look, only two can go through.
Well, Dan's got to be one of them.
Well, he's not.
No. Sorry, Dan. I thought Dan lost his way a little bit in the call just before the try.
Yep.
And now I think he found the moment of the felt try very good. Mm-hmm. But I think just before that, it was almost like, look, and he did know it was coming up, but he'd lost his momentum a little bit.
He was waiting for that moment.
He was waiting for it, and I think just that little hiccup.
He had one eye on the moment and just wasn't in the moment.
In finals football, it just cost him. It just cost him. I thought the tone was wrong from Murray. I thought he repeated himself a little bit and whatnot. My picks were Albie, Maroonism and all, and I thought Tony was very good. Tony had a nice rhythm the way he called. And
yep.
He got the moment of the try very
sounds right. Like he's auditioning for NRL 360 Idol or something, doesn't he? His critique.
I'm doing my best, Simon Cowell.
Thank you, Simon Cowell.
Look, Gerds, there's no point coming on and just backing blokes for no reason all the time.
No, you're right.
Find a reason to bag them. Okay, give them a reason while you're bagging them.
All right, the guys that'll go through. Congratulations, you've made it through from to today.
Hang on.
Yes.
Do they know who they are? Are we announcing it?
We're
now?
Announcing it
Can
right now.
Can we get
now?
A drum roll?
Let's.
Nah, come on. Let's.
Good job you've done
that
there, Gordy.
Bad, was it?
Albie and Tony, you have made it through. You are our final two.
Applause.
You are our final two. There we go. Albie and Tony, you have made it through to our final two. So Albie Tallarico,
you're ripped off, Dan.
And Tony Wakeley, you guys can go away. And remember what I said? It's all about
just go away.
Preparation. Oh, and you got to cheat. You got to cheat. No one's seen how many times you've done it, so if you do it wrong, go back and do it again.
Yeah.
That's Triple M NRL Footy Voice, and we'll have more on that next week.
Just on that, Maroon. Look, it makes sense for all these guys and everybody that's entered this to sit down and just put a tape together, and if it's no good, do it again. If it's no good, do it again. So you can have a dozen attempts to get it right.
Mm.
Some clearly didn't bother with that. They thought one go was good enough and clearly wasn't.
Mm.
But what about the guys who eventually ends up winning this? What if he is one of those people that's had a dozen goes to get it right, finally nailed the one that's right, sent that in, we've fallen in love with it, and then you put him down for a live game and he's like Dobbo-like or...
Oh.
Don't, yes. The white hander, listen, leave him
poor
alone.
Poor old Dobbo. Now, Dobbo thinks whoever wins this, he's replacing him as the Brisbane caller.
Well, he is, isn't he?
Well, then what's poor old Dobbo going to do?
He'll white hand somewhere else.
He's on that regional. He's on the show with Luke and...
Yeah, poor Luke.
He's a busy man.
Yeah.
I'm only wanting Dobbo.
Yeah,
I know he likes to listen. I know he likes to hear his name, and it can't always be complimentary, but... Good on you, Dobbo.
We still haven't got those stakes you promised us 3 years ago. It's time for this. Yes, well, the Raging Bull has spent the whole week sunbaking with these budgie smugglers on that are covered in sprinkled donuts.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, you know the ones, don't you?
You know,
are you the peeping Tom?
What about when
Maroon would like to take a bite out of those donuts when you're Maroon.
No, I actually really would not.
But I mean, it's funny how. What about when he has to show us his suntan marks? You know,
I haven't showed you that. You are the peeping Tom. 25 meters,
probably. Mate. I can think of better people to peep on than you. But anyway, you are the Raging Bull, and you are an ornament to the game. What is the Raging Bull raging about this week? Let's start off with the MILF, Anthony Milford.
I feel sorry for Anthony Milford at the moment. I think he's got thrown into the 5-8 role. And I don't think he's really grasped it, other than when Kevy Walters was working with him and Hunt. They had that amazing year and they went to the grand final. And I think it was a real work in progress. I think he's just a natural ball runner and his position is fullback. The reason why Brisbane were so excited about getting him, he was playing fullback at the Raiders. He was unbelievable. His job was to get the ball and run. That's his first instinct. That's the best thing he does. And at times, Brisbane can't buy a kick in the last couple of years. So his game management, I think, is not up there with someone like a Morgan Thurston or Cooper Cronk. And that's his job at Brisbane. And I think he's just... I love when he runs the ball, and I think he's pigeonholed now into being a 5-8. And because Wayne Bennett's made the decision, he's going to stick with it at it. And I don't know whether you're going to get the best of Anthony Milford. I don't think we're going to look at Anthony Milford's career and go, wow, what a player that he could be, because he doesn't have that freedom and that range where I think that he is as a football player. His strength his strength as a rugby league player has been taken away from him.
Do you think he is going to be an unfulfilled talent?
Oh, no, no. Look, he's certainly a wonderful player. And then when I watched him on Friday night, when he runs and he steps and he beats the blokes around him, it's a bit like Matt Bowen and Jason Robinson, like where you just, like, the alarm bells will be going in your head. You think, what am I doing here? Where's my job? Where do I have to be? He's got that about him. But with all the other thoughts going, I don't think his process works as quick as a Cooper Cronk or that. They can't run the way he does. I think he's naturally, what I want to see him do is run. But because if he runs, well, the rest of the team, no one sets up the team. No one sets up the game plan. He's a natural ball runner. The best thing when all the highlights that we watch at Anthony Milford is broken field running when he gets the ball off an offload and it's there. And that's when I see the best of Anthony
Milford. He's failed to advance as a footballer, that early potential we saw.
Well, I think they were asking him to do something that is above him.
A Brisbane Broncos, a better team when Hunt's at halfback and he's there to manage the game and Milford can run a little bit more like they sort of were last year. And
dare I say it, I think Darius Boyd plays as a 5'8". If I was coaching that organisation, Darius would go into the six and Milford would go back to one.
Why didn't Wayne do that? When obviously...
Well, that's what everybody thought. Darius was coming to Brisbane to play six.
Yeah, but... And when...
Well,
when,
maybe Darius said no.
Do you think he did?
I don't know. I said maybe he did.
Yeah, well, that's why I asked. Do you think he did?
No, I think when you get a player of Darius's calibre, I think, mate, whatever he says, I think if he says no, that I don't want to go there. But I reckon the question might have been thrown at him.
Is it possible that Wayne next year will put Darius to six and will put the reason, like, because Lockyer moved there and less running in the legs and he moves Milford back to one and leaves him there? Because he's got Jack Bird coming there next Darius year too, don't forget.
So Darius Boyd did an article through the week that he's getting smarter in his body, you know, like with his hamstring. I think when he did his Achilles, you know, he's had problems with the hamstring that, you know, this one that's kept him out of the last two finals. And the reason why is, you know, he feels guilty if he doesn't go at their gird, you know, on a Monday or Tuesday and do what the team needs him to do. So he is starting to feel the pinch in his legs. He's a big body. You know, you watch him in Origin and he can play center wing. Like Darius is one of those players that can play anywhere in the back line. Yeah. He's just got so much skill and so much time. I think Darius is the natural fit at 5'8", and Milford go back there because he's just more of a brilliant runner.
Being a fullback these days isn't all about ball running. I mean, the good fullbacks, and Darius is one of the best. They stop as many tries as they create.
It's not all about ball running, though, Gers, but the one thing the fullbacks do, every team, every coach will agree that the fullbacks cover more mileage than anybody during the game.
Yeah.
Because of all the they've got to fill the spots. Now, if Darius is getting older, we've seen it already with Greg Inglis, where people have said with Greg Inglis that his legs aren't quite what they were, so he can no longer play fullback, and that South Sydney, to get the best out of him, they're probably going to have to move him to 5'8", because you don't want to play him as a centre because it's essentially wasted, sticking him out on an edge. But you still need to get your money's worth out of him, but you can't expect him to do the mileage at fullback that's been done in the past. And perhaps... With Darius, that's what the issue there is too. That as he's getting older, you try to save him a little bit. Put him into 5'8" and let him play at 5'8". He plays more than any other fullback in the game. He plays like a 5'8". His game's more closely linked to the 5'8" role than any other fullback. And then you allow Milford to go to the back, and Milford then becomes a pure ball runner. And he's because that was his when he came through at Canberra and he was playing fullback. He was immediately earmarked as a potential superstar of the game. And I must say, I think since going to Brisbane, while we see flashes of that brilliance we all know he's got, I don't think we see it anywhere near as often as what we saw when he was at Canberra in the early parts of his career.
All right, boys, the Raging Bull. This is where Gordy Tallis gets his chance to get out of the bullpen, get off the chain and say what's on his mind. But what's this all about, Raging Bull? Suspend coaches for 4 weeks?
What are you looking at me live for? I think it's good. I think last week I like to commend the NRL for the suspension for the fines they gave Trent Barrett and Flanagan for bringing a game. I'm yet in the 100 years to know where a coach has won a game and gone in there and bagged the referees for winning the game and getting the result. We saw when Flanagan, when there was a 7-tackle set, he goes, "Oh, it's just human error," and you know, you win some, you lose some, and all that kind of stuff. But I don't think we're going to stop the problem. I think we've been fining referees now for as long as I can remember. I don't know how many years, but they've been getting $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 fines for the last 15 or 20 years. I don't know how long. But yet, they keep on doing it and they're putting more and more pressure on referees, I would love to see that if they do it and they do it once and the second time they do it, they're not allowed to go anywhere near their organisation and they're not allowed to coach for 2 or 4 weeks. And you know what? Or take points off the team. There's got to be something else to deter the coaches from going out there and keep on, look, you know, the soft target getting in the referees.
Brad Fittler came up with the idea that just take 2 competition points off them because that will make them behave real quick.
That's harsh, though, Kenny.
It is harsh.
But it's fair.
But they've had fair warning, Maroon. But this is the other alternative. Just keep fining them. Because the referees, Trent Robinson spoke about this the other day, and I fully understand what he's saying here. He said at the start of the season, the directive was put out by the NRL, the coaches are not allowed to talk at all about the referees. Now, over the course of the season, there would be a slight comment made, and the NRL would look at it and think, oh, well, he really didn't say much, so we'll let that go. Then later on, there was another comment made, and it pushed the line a little bit further from the previous comment. So the NRL looked at that and compared it to the previous comment, thought, well, it's not that bad. So what ended up happening, so this directive of you are not allowed to talk about the referees at all became you are not allowed to talk about the referees and question their integrity. And out of that, yeah, Shane Flanagan still blew it because he actually rang Brian Canavan before his press conference last week to see what he could and could not say and then totally fluffed it all up. He just got it all wrong. And the point to it is the NRL, I heard you guys talking yesterday and you're saying, Gerds, about, well, the journos asked the questions. The journos asked the questions.
But they got friends with the coaches, so I reckon half of it's set up. Hey, mate, ask me this. And I'm going to say, mate, well, what do you think?
What do you think?
I think it's poor. Well, the new writer. So they're getting the message across.
Yeah, but Gerds, Gordy, if the coaches are told you are not allowed to say anything about the referee, about his performance, about decisions, you're not allowed to comment one bit. And the moment a coach does, you fine him $10,000. But the minute that directive goes out, if a journo wants to ask a question at the press conference, the coach says, I am not allowed to talk about that, and he leaves it at that. Yeah. The journos will figure out fairly quickly.
Because it's filtering down, Paul. So what I saw this
year... Just let me finish my point. Yeah. That they will figure out fairly quickly not to ask the question. The only reason they ask the questions is because they might get a bite out of the coach. And as you just said, Gordon, sometimes the coaches tip certain media off. If you ask me about this today, I will be forced to answer it, and off they go.
Yeah, and it's filtered down into the game where we saw in another code a referee getting hit. And we saw a referee running off in Canberra and a fan spitting on him. And we see they throw water bottles on that. That comes out of frustration because they're coaches. And then all of a sudden, oh, well, if he's allowed to do it. So it filters from the coaches. They're the ones that coach all week to break the rules. They're the one to say, listen, mate, push here, mate. We're going to cheat here. We're going to do this. Split markers. We're doing this. So they coach to break the rules where the referees are there to police them. And then when they don't get away with the rules that they're breaking...
Mm.
Well, then they bag them.
And I saw, look, again, like you want to talk about referees. Last night, the amount of times Friday night, the amount of times Brisbane were offside in their own try line.
They've got to change the rule. It was embarrassing.
Yeah. And this is where the game needs. See, this is where Tony Archer, as the boss of the referees, needs to call them in and say, you know what, guys? They are deliberately standing offside off their own try line. What they do by doing that, they are... The referees look at it this way. Well, the ball didn't go that side anyway, so he wasn't in play. Therefore, we're not going to call a penalty. Well, the reason the ball didn't go that side was because the dummy half is smart enough to see one half of the field... One side of the field offside and the other half onside. So he goes to the side where he's got the more space, which is the onside. Therefore, the referees think that they've made the right decision by not calling the play. What they don't realise is that the defence is actually dictating to the dummy half because don't come this way because we're all offside here. The referees need to say, you know what? You're doing it deliberately. You're allowing yourself. We saw it in Brisbane. Brisbane gave a penalty away in their own 10-metre line, okay? They got another set. They gave another penalty away. They then got another set. They then dropped the ball. Penrith then dropped the ball, tackle one, I think it was. Mm-hmm. So their gamble to stand offside and continue giving away penalties, which allows them to reset their defensive line, is working. Because eventually, you're basically gambling that the opposition will make a mistake or drop the ball before you concede a try. And but what you're allowed to do, every time your defensive line gets out of shape, you give away a penalty so you can reset it again.
That's right.
So it's a deliberate foul. I hear all these suggestions. Someone has to go and stand behind the goal line. Someone has to do this. Someone has to do. You know what? The rule is already in place. Let's not complicate the game. Let's not think of a new rule. Let's just say, you know what, guys? That's a professional foul. You gave that penalty away deliberately to prevent a try. So you're going to go and have 10 minutes in the sin bin now. And the coach will bitch and scream and moan about it.
I know he can't now because we're going to find
him. He can't, but he will privately. He'll ring Tony Archer. What was that about? I haven't seen that penalty all year. But it's in the rules. Put him in the sin bin. And the minute you start sin binning players for this, coaches who are now coaching their teams to give away penalties will start saying, guys, don't give the penalty away.
Fellas.
Don't stand offside.
Sorry, Paul. There's a couple of calls coming through on this issue. Let's get on to it and see what these people would like to talk about. Sunday Triple M NRL. Call any time on 133353. Adam is in Dromoyne in Sydney. Adam, what would you like to say, chap?
Mate, I just think I agree with what a lot of Gordon and Kenty are saying, but I think that the players, the amount of times you see the players, they all run in, they push and shove. Every time there's a penalty against them, they kick the ball away. They do little things like that all of the time, and they don't actually act like professionals. If you look at the AFL, if you look at the NFL in America, if you look at the NBA, any time a player disrespects an official, they get ejected. You know, they get a 50-meter free kick. But in the NRL, we keep saying, oh, it's a man's game, oh, it's a man's game. Well, as far as I'm concerned, acting like a man actually means respecting authority and actually respecting everything. And I don't think we actually do that to the players in the NRL.
Yeah,
and they
well
keep
said.
Getting away with it.
Well said. And again, before we overcomplicate this, the rule is already in place. March them 10 metres.
10 metres.
If they want to come and bitch and moan, I'll march you 10 metres.
Yeah.
If you still want to complain, I'll march you another 10. And they will soon learn that lesson.
All right, 133353. Let's go to the beautiful Blue Mountains in Sydney once again for this call. And I think it's John. John, what would you like to say?
I'd just like to say that one thing that you blokes touched on when you actually came on the show was you said that the refs had a good game last night and your comment was only 6 penalties. Now, this goes exactly in line with what Kenny's just talking about. The rules are there. If they're doing something wrong, penalise them. As simple as that. And they're not idiots. If you keep doing that and you send in those blokes that get offside in their 10, they'll soon stop it.
Well said. I agree. I think the referees need to come out and say, you know, this is now the standard we're setting. Look, we can start it next season. Now we don't want to start it this
start
week.
Can't start it now.
No, but they need to come out and put a clear line and say, this is the standard we're setting. And if you do not obey the spirit and rules of the game, we're going to penalise you for it. And if it means we get to an end of game and the penalty counts 18-16, so be it, because pretty quickly the coaches will tell their players we can no longer get away with what we used to get away with.
All right. Sorry, Paul. Are we all done with the callers now? Yes, we are. Sunday Triple M NRL. There's a couple more. We might try and get to those calls after the break, and we'll talk more about this game. So these games that are coming up next week, we'll do that for Aveco. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler, Anthony Maroon. Triple M rocks the finals.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. The Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Put your clothes on, Gerd. It's not over yet.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon. Triple M rocks the footy.
Well, I tell you what, we can't wait till next week. Some big games coming up and you'll hear them all on Triple M. So make sure you're listening to the station you are listening to now right up and down the east coast of Australia, Triple M. And, of course, 2GOFM in the beautiful Central Coast, KOFM in Newcastle, right through to 4TO in Townsville, and all the Triple M's here, there and everywhere in between. Wherever you might be listening, you can hear these games. And, of course, if you can't, you always just download the app at triplem.com.au. That's how easy it is to do. And these games coming up next week, thanks to Aveco Trucks, Strong by Nature. Well, the first one, Friday night, Storm Broncos at Amy Park. How do you see this one? Storm, Amy Park. Have the Broncos played their grand final, Gordon?
No, they certainly haven't played their grand final. They haven't. No. I thought they defended unbelievably against Penrith. They'd have to repeat that. They'd have to replicate their defence from Friday night, but their attack. You know, you're not going to score 13 points and beat the Melbourne Storm. I think the way Melbourne Storm can pull you apart, and they've had so much success, you know, just attacking around the halves where they defend around the three and four defenders. Their ability to ask you questions, Melbourne Storm in attack will try to break that defence down. Their attitude was great, but I can't see Brisbane getting points against Melbourne Storm.
22,000 at Amy Park for that last game down there. Paul, how do you see this one, mate?
Oh, look, I think Melbourne have had the wood on Brisbane for a long time. I know since Brisbane won the grand final in 2006, they've played, we spoke about it the other night, played 23 times and Brisbane have won just four times.
Wow.
I will say three of those four wins, though, have been at Amy Park. So that does stand in good stead for them. But I just think that Melbourne, this Melbourne side, they are at another level compared to the Broncos, and things would have to drastically go wrong for Melbourne for them to lose.
Well, Melbourne are masters at controlling the ruck, right? Brisbane don't have a big body like those guys to, you know, lay the platform, the pokey's nose through. They don't have that guy that's going to come off the back fence and push his nose and get that little bit of a roll on and then have, you know, Melbourne Storm defending on the back foot. You know, like, they just got no forwards.
Yeah.
You know, Semi Thaiday, who I love as a player, playing front row, he's an edge back rower, you know, so that's...
He might start at hooker this week again. I reckon Wayne will start him at hooker.
Oh, yeah, he'll play Ducks and Drakes against
them. The thing I think, you've got to do to beat the Melbourne Storm is go down there and play for 80 minutes and limit their opportunities and be really good defensively. And Gordy just touched on how good Brisbane were last week against Penrith in defence. Well, Penrith didn't throw a lot at them, especially down in that zone. Melbourne are probably the best side at set pieces in the competition, so they'll need to be a lot better than they were last week if they're going to hand over the opportunities that they did to Penrith on Friday night. So that's it. If Brisbane can go down there, they can play that expansive style of football, but then maintain a really good completion rate and then dominate possession and do all those parts of the game right, which isn't, or it doesn't seem to be their focus at the moment, well, they're a chance. But if they go down there and they throw the ball around and they don't respect that part of the game and they give Melbourne opportunities, they'll walk all over them.
Well, how are they going to get a repeat set? They can't buy a kick Brisbane, so the kicking game, they've got to find a kicking game. They've got to get repeat sets. They've got to put Melbourne Storm under pressure. They've got to make them defend 2, 3, 4, 5 sets in a row. You know what they do, and I don't know whether they've got that game in them. I don't know whether they've got their patience in attack. You know, they'll drop on the ball, they were a bit clunky in attack, but their defence was spot on. So, yeah, they got the right mind, you know, well, defence is an attitude, so they'll have the right attitude in defence, but I just think, you know, trying to score points, trying to build pressure on this Melbourne Storm side, you think Melbourne would have to have an off day to get beaten.
Boys, the other game, and this is a great game for Sydney, for a couple of reasons. It's a Saturday night, 7:40 at Allianz Stadium, right in the middle of Sydney. It's a beautiful facility. It's a great place to watch rugby league. You can meet up at the Bat and Ball or the Light Brigade or any of those pubs along Oxford Street. Have a couple of cold ones and then
cruise. What's the other one?
What's the one? Yes, Paul, the other one? I don't know.
The Stonewall, mate.
The Stonewall. Stonewall. I don't know much about the Stonewall. What's that one?
It's a pub on Oxford Street. Gordy and I got a little bit loose there the other night.
Did you really? Nice. Tell us what goes on at the Stonewall.
It was karaoke night. Drag queens were
drag queen karaoke.
So yes. When they say loose, they meant like loose.
Right. Well, why don't you drag a couple of the drag queens up to the... Because the Roosters don't get enough people to their home games. Get the drag queens up there.
Perform at half-time.
They could perform at half-time.
Yeah.
What sort of songs do drag queens do?
They like,
their last song was Que Sera Sera.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
I will admit they do fancy the denim shorts.
Because in the old days, we all used to take our trannies to the footy, didn't we? But that was before, you know, Walkmans and, you know, you had radios and your phones and things like that. But look, we'll leave that.
Listen, yeah, you better leave that right alone.
You're on your own there, sir.
Yeah, you wouldn't want your own. You in the trenches with me. Roosters, Cowboys, who wins this one?
Oh, I think
at the beginning
Roosters.
Of the year, I said the Roosters would win the competition. So, but I really love the way the Cowboys are having a go, and it's a real North Queensland effort. And, you know, it was like Thurston was playing. Like, it's like they had their full side last night, the way they played. But you think the mountain might be a bit too far to climb against the Roosters, but I'm going to go the Cowboys being a North Queensland.
You're going to go the Cowboys?
Yeah. So you just totally contradicted everything you just said. You've given us a fight.
Well,
I
can't go against North Queensland, mate, because I'm a North Queenslander.
Well, just say that at the start, and then we don't have to put up with all that other waffle.
Well, who do you think's going to win, Paul?
I think the Roosters will win. I think the week off's going to be an enormous advantage for them.
Who do you think was going to win last night?
I thought Parramatta would kill them. I thought, Gordon, I don't step away from that. But, you know, part of having an opinion sometimes and actually believing your opinion is it does go wrong sometimes.
Yeah,
not everybody. So I'm not going to sit there and give you a 5 minute spiel.
Gordon can't lose though now, PK, because he knows the Roosters will win, but he's going for the Cowboys.
Exactly, he knows the Roosters. Exactly.
But you sitting on the Great Wall of China.
What about you?
I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I think that I'm just not convinced on the Roosters so far this season, and I'm not sure if they've got a real 80-minute performance in them, and I really like what I saw last night with the Cowboys, and I think they'll get a little bit better next week.
Thank you,
and,
Ryan.
What are you thinking of me for?
Oh,
what?
Just for, you know, for agreeing
what?
With me.
Put some logic around what you said.
Cowboys play for 80 minutes.
You gave us a little doctrine on why you thought the Roosters should win, and you tipped them at the start of the year, and they've done this, and they've done that. And then
you're going for the Cowboys.
And then you're going for the Cowboys.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Seriously. Yeah. I'm going to support the Cowboys, and I want them to win.
You know what? Say that at the start, then we don't have to put up with the rest. Just can you turn his microphone off?
Can you?
Oh, this waffle. Yeah, the great thing about you and Wendell, you don't have a lot in common, but what you do have in common is you both link yourself.
Be careful, you'll be picking up
the other thing. What they do have in common is they don't have a lot.
No, but they link themselves to a bunch of different teams. Like, you link yourself to the Gold Coast, the Cowboys, the Broncos, and the Dragons. He links
himself to the Dragons,
the Broncos, some of the Reds. I think they're a rugby team. And he links himself to...
I was born in Townsville, so I'm in North Queensland.
Right.
I played for the Broncos.
Right.
And I work for the Titans. So they're the three Queensland teams that I support.
Right.
God.
Okay. Well, look,
what's wrong with that?
Anyway, I'm going to tip the Cowboys. Did we get there?
Yeah, you tipped the Cowboys.
Yeah, no, I think I tipped them.
And you tipped the Roosters, Paul, and you tipped
them. Listen, where he starts, his team's not in the comp anymore.
Okay.
Gerds. Paul's team's not even in the comp anymore, and yours got kicked out of the comp.
Well,
At least my three teams are still in the comp.
I'll tell you what, though, Gordon. There's a show on North Queensland Radio called The Charge Down, which you've been a guest on a number of occasions, where I have tipped the Cowboys, even without Matt Scott and Jonathan Thurston, to win the premiership.
Is it a worrying sign that there's only one team from New South Wales still in the competition?
No.
All right. Well,
Just
saying.
There's only two from Queensland.
Oh, well, there's one more than from New South Wales. how many teams are there up there in Queensland?
How many New South Wales players play in those teams that represent Queensland? They're not representing Queensland.
Did I just hit a nerve? What's the name of that nerve I just hit? Your two little pumpkins.
It's a stupidity nerve.
I tell you what's
and great. I've got a heightened sense of it right now.
That might do us for today, I think. We're not timing out to any regionals. We might as well just have a little two-minute early mark. Ryan, get home safe.
Thank you.
Have fun at Hugo Agogo's this afternoon with your... you going to Hugo's?
Hey, where do you go, Hugo?
I'm going home. Okay. I'm going home to walk the dog. Paul, see you on
NRL. Is that what you call it?
That's what I call it these days.
Yep.
And Gordon,
see you, brother.
Have fun at Stonewall.
See you guys.
See you next week on Sunday NRL.
Triple M rocks the NRL for Brighton's lawyers, protecting your future.